That all aside, let's get ready for the show.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Monday, August 12th, here at Danger Studios in rainy Coral Springs, Florida. I'm joined with my special guest today, Mr. Phil Schoen.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here, man. I love hearing your voice. I always heard your voice. I heard your voice first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met, unfortunately, at a good friend's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Because Thomas Rongen, my former college soccer coach, we were talking. And I said, hey, I'd love to somehow get into broadcasting soccer games and maybe do a color, you know, and because one of the guy you work with, Ray Hudson,
mm-hmm.
who's unbelievable, you know, just it's just comical
uh-huh.
you know, to listen to him. On there, and not like funny, but like the words, the things he comes up with, it's just you want to watch the game. But I was talking to Thomas, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna introduce you to Phil." And
I remember that.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, if you meet at a funeral, it can only get better from there.
So. You would hope. Yeah. Yeah. And
well, if it doesn't, that could make an interesting movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow,
the funeral was the high point. So.
Yeah, and then you know so. But you're on BEIN Sports.
Yep, BN.
BN,
yep.
And out of Miami, I guess. And you guys do games on the Bundesliga?
We used to do Bundesliga. That was way back Gold TV days.
All right, okay.
Used to do Serie A. And now we're, in fact, Liga, which is France, and Neymar, who knows what's going to happen with him. Turkey. And then we do Copa Libertadores down in South America, Sudamericana, World Cup qualifying. But the big one is La Liga and Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
And that gets back underway on Friday.
Oh, exciting, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be great. And I was so happy because this weekend we had the English Premier League back.
Uh-huh.
Which is my Saturdays, because Saturdays my wife goes to work. She's a hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
And I'm home all by myself. I got the remote.
And you tell her you're watching soccer.
Of course.
Okay.
My iPad's on something else, but I'm watching soccer in case anybody uh-huh. walks in, you know, the house. But yeah, no, I mean, it's because until then, and you posted something not too long ago, like, oh my God, with this time I have,
mm-hmm.
right, without soccer, like Saturdays, I don't even want to get up. Like now I get up at 6:30 in the morning, 7 to watch the 7 a.m., usually 7 a.m. games that come on. And
We are hopeless. I remember this would have been 20 years ago, back before everything was on ESPN Plus, and back before everything was on TV. But I think it was ESPN had the Dutch League for a while.
Yeah.
And I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch two teams I'd never heard of
yeah.
with maybe one player that sounded slightly familiar.
Yeah. I mean, the only team I remember from the Dutch League is Ajax.
Yeah.
Right. Ajax, sorry.
Yeah, Ajax you clean with.
That's a cleaning product, yeah. See?
Uh-huh.
See, that's why I don't even know much. Somebody says, you're a real soccer fan, you mm-hmm. Ajax, really? You know, people do that nowadays. People don't let anything slip. Like,
nope.
Right? Everybody. You can't.
Everybody, for the jugular.
Yeah, everybody on Facebook.
Why like, don't you say Comet?
Yeah.
You got something against Comet?
Yeah, I know. Well, Comet one time, I had a bad accident.
Okay.
I didn't know it was that abrasive. and you guys forgot what I did. You know what I'm saying? So
clean jokes.
It's a clean joke. I tell clean jokes. Which, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and get into that. Mm-hmm. You and I, because you asked me, because I put on Facebook a little bit of.
I was worried about you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really was.
Well, you know, it was kind of disappointing.
I thought it was going to be time for an intervention.
Some people said, hey, man. I said, look, this is my. And actually, a good buddy of mine, because the night it happened, I called a friend of mine to ask him his opinion. Kind of like a mentor, comedy mentor, friend mm-hmm. of mine. And I said, what happened? I go, hey, was I out of line here? You know, and they said, absolutely not. You know, you handled yourself fine, and blah, blah, blah. So So, yeah, I'm cool with it. Now, for those of you watching on Facebook want to know what it was, I was featuring this weekend on Saturday and supposedly Sunday at the Palm Beach Improv, which...
Pretty nice gig.
It's a great gig. Now, this is the first time I featured there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this a long time, been waiting for this opportunity. And so, you know...
Now, when you say featured, basically, you're up there. Not the headliner, but you're the next guy.
I'm the opening act. Yeah. I'm the appetizer, in other words, right? And which is good because, A, it's the second highest paid
Dougie
part.
Scampi.
Yeah, exactly. So you and I think of food. Mm-hmm. We seem to make a lot of analogies with food. But yeah, and it was so I'm excited about it. Now, mind you, the guy I was working with had a reputation of being a bit of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He has been known to bust chops for the people that are open for him. He's a bit of a diva.
No, okay. Okay, busting chops can be kind of funny.
Yeah.
This is not the funny type of busting chops.
No, this isn't funny at all. No. This is actually almost intolerant. You're intolerable. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. You're the wordsmith, right? You're the.
Let's ask Ray.
Yes, yeah. I got to tell you, I still remember him saying one time, he looks like a turtle on his back. And the goalie couldn't get up on it, and it got scored. You're right. It was a question of, you know, the minute I got into there in the green room, the guy looks at me and he's like, you know, first of all, I need you to be clean, all right? I go, okay, cool, you know, I'm clean. He's like, look you're giving, what's up with that look? I go, what are we, in middle school? You know, what kind of questioning is this? And he goes, well, you give me that look like you don't know what I'm talking about. I go, no, I know what you're talking about, dude. I'm a pretty clean comic as it is, but I get it, you know. And then I clarified a couple things that might have been considered dirty, and says, we're good. So, you know, long story short, things are going good. I go out on the show. Mind you, I'm doing my act, and I'm doing really well, which is part, you know, if I'm not doing well, I pretty much own up if I'm not doing well. And I was doing really well. A couple of applause breaks, you know, things are going really well. I felt this is great. When you're on stage, you usually get a light to let you know, hey, it's almost time to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually get a 5-minute light. So when I'm
how long are you out there normally?
20 minutes for a feature set. Sometimes 30, but usually in the improv when you do feature set, you're doing 20 minutes.
So 5 minutes left.
Right.
They start semaphoring.
Yes.
No smoke signals or anything.
No, just a light from the sound booth, and usually they acknowledge it. So I looked at them and went like that. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 10 seconds later, I get the light again, and I'm like, okay, maybe he didn't see it. Maybe he didn't see my nod or. But so I gave him the thumbs up, right? Give him one of these. And he's like, all right. So I'm like, okay, well, now we're good. So I keep going in my stuff. Another 10 seconds later, I get the light moving now. I'm like, what's going on? And then I start thinking, well maybe the guy forgot to give me the 5-minute light, and there's only a minute left, and he's trying to let me know, hey, you got to get off. So I look down at my watch. I go, nope, we're kind of on time. I'm 18 minutes, whatever it is into it. Let me wrap up my stuff. Now the light's going. These guys shaking the light. I'm going, there's a problem here. There's obviously a problem. So I don't even get to properly sell my merch.
Uh-huh.
I basically do my wasn't my closing joke, but
which is kind of what you're there for in some ways.
Yeah, that's part of my income. And you know, when you get paid a feature, your income I sell merch, t-shirts that sell. So it usually doubles my pay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because I sell shirts.
Impressive t-shirts.
Yes. I got t-shirts that say all Richards are dicks. Right? And it's part of a joke I tell.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And I also have a t-shirt that says incestry.com. Keep it in the family. And I tell a joke with it. So I usually will sell 5 to 8 shirts after a show. You know, $20 a hot, that's 100, 160 bucks, whatever, which usually doubles your pay, if not more. So I didn't get to really sell. So I kind of, okay, guys, I'll be outside. I got to go, blah, blah, blah. And I left. I had no idea what was going on. Well, I end up finding out two things. First of all, I'm at the merch table. This clown, his name is Rick Gutierrez, by the way, if anybody doesn't know. He's the comic.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fluffy. He's one of Fluffy's guys. And this guy.
That's kind of strange. He gets along with everyone.
Fluffy, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about his entourage.
Okay.
But so he comes walking like at me, like in a pace. Like I almost got into a karate stance because I thought the guy was going to try to punch me or something. And he goes like this. And I had a couple people there standing there next to me talking, hey, good job. You know, I loved you. He comes walking at me with this pace, and I kind of got ready to defend myself. And he goes, we got a goddamn problem. And he almost said that in front of me. I'm like, what the hell is going on, you know? So long story short, he goes off. People clear out. Everybody's gone. We're getting ready. The staff's getting ready for the second show. So I go into the green room to find this guy instead of him coming. He jumps off the couch the minute I walk in the green room, again with that aggressive attitude. I kind of got ready to punch him because I thought he was going to come at me. And he goes, you fucking asshole. He goes, I told you not to do any political jokes. And I go, no, you never told me that. You told me not to be dirty. You never said anything about political jokes. And mind you, I don't even think I told a political joke. He goes, I thought you were Hispanic and this and that. So he had a problem with two or three of my jokes, which I told you before the show, which.
Wordplay.
Misdirection.
Yeah. Right? Misunderstandings. That's one of the sources of humor.
Yes. And
if you're married, you understand that quite well.
Yeah. Get everybody on Facebook. So exactly. So this guy, now, mind you, in the world of comedy, most professional comics know if you're a comic, you got to learn how to take a joke, whether it's about you, whether it's about who you are, your family, your sister. You know, that's comedy. You know, comics will get edgy. And that's what I like to do. The misdirection of my jokes is I like to tell a joke and people think they know where it's going. And then it goes into a complete different area that you had no idea. And the area he thought I was going into was, you know, making fun of Mexicans or the wall and all this kind of stuff. When in fact, it had nothing to do with any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just
it mentioned it.
It mentions it. Yeah. But that the main topic is not that. It is aspect.
I kind of have a feeling if you went to like the Mexico City Laugh-In, they're making wall jokes.
Oh yeah, I told him. I said, dude, I told this joke all weekend in Tucson in front of hundreds of Mexican people. They loved it. I told him. I said, you are the only Mexican I know that does not like that joke. I had a problem with that joke, and I told that joke in El Paso, the comic strip. It crushed. I told it in Tucson, four shows. It crushed. You know, and my buddy Joey Medina, who's Puerto Rican, but Latin, he loves the joke. Why? Because he has a sense of humor, and he's not a douchebag.
Was that a personal message?
Not to Joey.
Okay.
So here's the thing. And if you're in comedy, and like any gentleman, a gentleman's agreement, let's say you and I work together. Let's say I'm lucky enough to start doing color commentary on the sports channel, right? And I'm loving it.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, I may have said something, and you're the professional. I would always bow down to you. This is your profession. I'm just hanging around trying to be part of it. If you came to me, if something happened, I would expect you to come to me and say, hey, Dougie, you may not want to, you know what, going forward, be sure to.
Especially first time out.
Yes. You wouldn't go to the manager. You wouldn't go to our boss and go, hey, Dougie over here. That would be a dick move.
Yeah, power play.
Yes. And this guy goes to the manager, complains. The manager, God bless you, told me because I've never had anything like this happen before. The staff loved you. You had a great set. I had no idea. I didn't get to see it because she was so busy. Mm-hmm. But she goes, I had no idea what the problem was. And here this guy, he's coming around. This guy is bouncing around with this look on his face as if I cursed his parents. And this is what brings me to my next point. So not only does this guy berate me and belittle me, in a sense, and telling me and yelling at me, and it got me to go from, he got the second show, instead of being the feature, he had me demoted to the MC, which means I can't sell merch, and I go from doing 20 minutes now down to 10, which is a bit discouraging, especially people go, what happened? You know, now you got to explain this stuff. And thank God I didn't have anybody at that show. Everybody went to the show, went to the first show. Thank God. So now that happens, and I said to him, I told him, why? You know, we're grown-ups. Why wouldn't you come to me and just say, hey, Doug, you have a problem with that joke? I got a lot of material. I don't have to do that joke. He goes, he's like, well, I don't think you have any other material. Well, who the hell are you to tell me that, number one? He goes, number two, he goes, you probably can't write very well. Meanwhile, here's a comic doing colonoscopy jokes, grabbing the cord. Oh, you know what a colonoscopy is? It's when they ram a camera up your ass.
Wasn't he the one saying keep it clean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, in all due respect, sometimes comics, when you're the headliner, you always want the opening act so you don't not spill everything all over the place.
Got it.
So I respect that, definitely. But yes, you know, and Hacky doing a joke about a bad oral by using the mic as a prop and banging it on his face. Hacky. He did about 10 shit jokes.
Uh-huh.
Shitting yourself. So, and here, how dare you question my writing? So, in matter of fact, he even kind of stole the premise of one of my buddy's jokes, and which was really weird because he was telling the joke. One of my comic friends, Jay Bliss, tells a great joke, and I won't even do it. But basically the premise is, as a man, when you're drunk, you seem to think when you hit on a woman, you sound like this.
Yes.
But you really sound like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he started doing that joke. Oddly enough, my buddy Jay Bliss, he said to me, he said, I see you're working with so-and-so. Tell him I said hi. I recently worked with him. Amidst that joke, it's almost, I saw him. He starts telling that joke.
Uh-huh.
He starts telling the joke, and as he gets through it, he kind of hesitates, and he looks up towards the back, looks down, and then kind of mumbles, finishes a little bit, and then moves on. And I said, he was about to tell that whole joke. So now, you know, whatever. So bottom line, too, now he says he doesn't even want me back for the Sunday show. Loss of money. All right? Mind you, I wouldn't want to work with this jerk off anyway. Didn't mean to say it anyway. So that's it. You know, so here's a guy. So my only concern was the club. You know, I don't want this to be a look at badly upon myself. You know, them look at me badly. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, as it seems, this guy has a reputation to be in this way.
Just by the way, should we be switching sides and maybe get a couch over here?
Yeah.
paging Dr. Katz.
Are you going to bill me? Phil's going to send me a bill for $150.
As long as you let me sell t-shirts.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just unbelievable that somebody would be that stupid,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course, I tweeted at Dougie Dangerous. I hope when I become a nationally touring comic, I'm not a douchebag or turn into a douchebag and stuff. So if you're ever a comic and somebody says, hey, you're going to be opening for Rick Gutierrez, you may want to turn down the gig.
You know? Bump.
Yeah. So anyway, back to my friend Phil here. So you played soccer? You were a soccer player?
I was a goalkeeper, which, according to some soccer players, means no.
I was a goalkeeper.
Yeah. I loved to go out and play on the field.
Yeah.
I just wasn't quite good enough when it actually counted. Like, the pickup games, the practices, yeah. I was great.
Right.
But, you know, when it came time to do it for real, get back.
Yeah.
So.
We love to go on the field.
Oh, absolutely.
Our teammates never wanted us
no,
going.
No, no,
stay
no,
stay in
no.
the goal.
It's a lot more fun to cause pain than receive
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So.
Any injuries? Because goalie is a pretty rough
oh,
position.
Oh, yeah. This thumb, these knuckles, got kicked in the back of the head a few times, which explains a lot.
Yeah.
Knees, ankles, eye.
Not a Gordon Banks injury.
No, 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 no. Oh, and this was actually when I was, this is after college, and rather interesting summer playing semi-pro. Just coming back here playing with some of the guys, you might even know some of
yeah.
them, like Tommy Lahosky and some
yeah,
of those
yeah.
guys from down south.
Great shot, great left foot, that kid.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing he could get so much power considering yeah. he never moved.
he didn't move. He was like a foosball soccer player.
Absolutely.
He just kind of went a little bit to the side.
and if you know Tommy, if you are Tommy,
yeah.
you know, we love you.
Actually, Matt Adams was on here earlier, who played at FIU, too.
Okay.
Yeah, he was watching earlier.
But, no, just playing pickup, and it was one of those ones, pass the ball back, and you just kind of turn around, you're starting to run upfield, and I didn't hear the thump. So I'm going, what's going on? Maybe he wants to pass it back to me. So
right.
I turn around, just as the ball's like right here, bam, right in the eye,
oh.
blood goes everywhere.
Oh, man.
So. Anyway.
Wow, that's bad. I had a tooth knocked out.
You did?
Yeah, when I was 12 years old.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if you remember this. Back years ago, there was a kid on a Pepsi commercial, young kid that did a bicycle kick. It was a big Pepsi commercial
okay.
in the early 80s. And he played for Miami. We were playing at the Plantation Field out in Central, behind the mall.
Okay.
And one-on-one, I came running out on a one-on-one. He slid with his feet first, and I came out, and he kicked me in the face. I got up, I had the ball, I kicked it out, and I looked down, I had blood everywhere, and I saw this big tooth.
Oh.
The root and everything just laying on the floor. And then I saw the blood. I'm like, oh, my God. But knees, ribs, cracked
yeah.
ribs, you know, banged around, of course, hit in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of people
all
like,
in a day's work.
Yeah, you're the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares.
Again, prepares you for marriage.
Yes. Yeah, it is good. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever want to get married, just go play goalkeeper in a men's soccer league. I remember the Gold Coast League.
Uh-huh.
Which was a very competitive league.
Even down to the D's and everything else. But, yeah, you get, in fact, when I was playing, I think if I played a little bit in pickup, but some of those guys that I played with in high school would actually go into some of those games.
Yeah.
And this was right after the NASL. Well, actually, it was after the Strikers had left. And the NASL was still around for a couple of years, but there was nothing down here. But some of those guys still lived down
yeah.
here. And they would be playing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd be sober. But they were still talented. It was amazing to watch them out
the
there.
The Gold Coast League, mm-hmm. basically for those, you know, it's basically it was almost like a semi-pro league.
Absolutely.
The Gold Coast League stretches all through Florida and whatever. Mm-hmm. And what would end up happening here is because there's so much talent, you know, Central American, South mm-hmm. American players, like college players that would be mm-hmm. home. You know, we actually played on Gerd Mueller's Ambry team for a while. Mm-hmm. There was a team called Löwenbräu, which David Irving, one of the old uh-huh. Florida Strikers, used to run. And they were a great team. And, you know, all kinds of these were people that were professional players. Mm-hmm. Bernd Holzenbein, German national team player, mm-hmm. played with us one time. And I remember this guy's like 50-something years old. He's on the field, and he's just like just complete difference amongst any other player when yeah. you watch. He's not even looking down. He's just looking around like he's reading a newspaper as uh-huh. he's dribbling by people. And I still remember this day. We're at Tradewinds Park in Coconut Creek.
Okay.
And this guy, he is on basically just outside my 18. I threw him the ball. He's the ball's coming at him. He's not even looking at it. He's looking out down the field.
Yeah.
He looks down at the ball, looks up, one touch.
Whack.
60 yards, almost to the other side of the other team, 18 yard, on the guy's foot. And I go, that is a great player
right
absolutely.
There. Absolutely. And Ray talked about Nene Kubiyas.
Oh, Nene.
This would have been about 5 years ago, maybe six, probably one of the last times that I actually played anything close to competitive. And Nene was out there, and I think he was like 68, 69 yeah. years of age still. And he looks like he's still 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And he still runs like he's 30. I mean, to see the 7-year-old guy fly past you, it'll make you want to quit the game.
Yeah.
But to give you an idea of the type of person that Nene Kubiyas was, dribble through three or four players, get to the goal, stop, pass it off so someone
yeah.
else could
yeah.
score.
Very, 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 mm-hmm. you know, very unselfish player.
And I remember when I was growing up, this is when I was a teenager, probably like 14, 15, 16, and same thing down here. People have no idea, and maybe they won't until Beckham's team starts to actually pull some of these players out, but how much talent there is in South Florida.
Yeah.
Back in the early days of MLS, I swear, it might be a little bit more difficult now, but I still think it's possible. You could go around South Florida, go around all the various leagues, all the various fields, even things that aren't leagues, just pick up games with some of the immigrants or second generation, third generation people. You could pick 11 guys.
Yeah.
They could beat an MLS team.
Yeah.
There's that much talent
no doubt.
Out here.
Well, I remember we had something like that where we had like a All-Star Gold Coast League, whatever,
yeah.
and we played the Strikers,
mm-hmm.
And we beat them. I mean, you know, you talk about Victor Lukoski was on
yeah.
there, Milchi Donav, guys like that.
If Victor still had knees, he'd probably
yeah,
still be playing.
Yeah,
but again, you take a look at that. Maybe the only thing is endurance and training.
Yeah,
but if that's your career, you will get the chance for all of that stuff.
Oh.
But again, when I was a teenager, I remember playing there were a bunch of Haitians, Jamaicans, Colombians.
Haitian All-Stars. Remember them? They were a fantastic team out of Miami.
You ever go down to Mylander and watch Copa Latina stuff with the Haitian All-Stars?
I played in the Copa Latina once years ago with the team.
It was amazing. Mylander, I think it used to have a couple of ASL games here or there. There's been a couple of big, decent games. But it's about, a 10,000-seat high school football
stadium. Oh, that's the one in Oakland Park off 441?
No, the one down in Hialeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
But I remember seeing a ton of Haitian All-Star games. Tommy Mulroy put this like a mini World Cup tournament together,
right.
and it was amazing. But when the Haitian teams came, and it got to the point there were actually two or three of them, when it was early on and there was like one, as you said, the Haitian All-Star team, the stadium would be packed.
Yeah.
There'd be like a couple hundred people for some of the other games,
yeah.
maybe some of the more popular teams. Soccer locker, et cetera, you'd get maybe 1,000 or two.
Yeah.
The Haitians come, 10,000, they're hanging over the rafters.
Right.
They would score a goal, they'd run into the stands, jump in. People would be throwing like dollar bills
yeah,
down
yeah.
their shirt.
Yeah.
And there was so much passion, so much emotion. But the one thing I was going to say is we played with some Greek guys also.
Yeah.
And there was one guy out there, it had to be like 70, 75, maybe, who knows, even 80. And it was one of those things where, I mean, you're young, you're dumb, you can fill in the blank, and you think, well, I'm going to take it easy on him because, you know,
yeah.
I like him, he's nice,
yeah.
and I don't want to hurt him or anything.
Poor guy, yeah.
Good luck even getting close to him.
Yeah.
He'd get the ball, like you're talking with Bernd Holzenbein, bing, gone.
Yeah.
You didn't even have a chance to move. It's like playing old guy tennis.
Yeah.
I mean, you think, I'm going to take it easy on him. He never moves. It's just, you pull an ambulance up by the third set.
It's so funny you said that. I used to play in the Coral Springs Tennis League.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother, buddy Vanner Herman, we mm-hmm. played on a doubles team. And I remember one time we were playing these two older guys.
Uh-huh.
And I was in shape, and I was in fighting, and it was in my early 20s, something like that. And Vanner were just, you know, in shape. We hit the ball. We were good. The one old guy had, like, a skipper hat on, you know, like the Gilligan hat. And he had a hand cloth in his hand as opposed to wearing a sweatband.
Yeah.
And me and Vanner are like, we're gonna kill these old guys. They beat our ass. A guy with a tennis racket with a towel holding it in there beat our ass in tennis. And they were like in
the
their 60s.
The meatloaf of old guy tennis.
Oh, God. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's just nuts. All right. So let's get into this. So now here's the interesting thing. So from a soccer player, you love the game.
Okay.
Then how did you get into broadcasting?
Well, I actually had to give some thought to this recently because just started my own business, still working with BN Sports, still working with Sirius XM, but things are going on in the world, and I had the opportunity to start my own business. And one of the things that I want to do is to try and help other people that want to do this.
Right.
And I started to think, how did I get into this? And I was one of those American sports nuts growing up. I'd be at 7-Eleven, grab the first day Who's Who of American Baseball came out, or Street and Smith's, or Athlon Guide. I wanted to know everything that was going on with those particular sports. I mean, I'd be writing out, again, it was a lot harder before the days of Excel and everything else, but I'd be writing out all the stats, trying to figure stuff out. I don't know why. There wasn't fantasy baseball at the moment. But
you know your stuff. When you listen to you on those, you know everything. Like, I'll say, oh, I could never do that. I don't have time to invest. You know, by the way, that's Johnny Rodriguez. You know, his first car was a Chevy Nova. How the hell do you know that? You know what I mean? Like, you know everything, dude.
Well, I try. Sometimes I even succeed. But the one thing that I used to do was, and this was South Florida. You had the Dolphins and off season. You had spring training baseball occasionally. There really wasn't University of Miami stuff much. You didn't have the Panthers, the Heat, none of the other stuff that was going on. And then I remember PBS used to be the source for soccer
on Sunday
in the
morning.
United States. Well, you had Saturday morning, which was the Bundesliga.
Right.
And then you had Sunday morning, which was...
Was it Toby Charles?
The first division. You had Mario Machado and Toby Charles.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really wish... I wish I would have had the chance to talk to Toby. He's still living in Germany.
Yeah.
And in fact, when I was at Gold TV and we got the Bundesliga rights, he had just stopped the season before doing the package over there. He was still working well into his 70s. But
this is Toby Charles. Yeah.
And I used to love listening to them. And then Tony Tirado, back before Univision was Univision, it was SIN.
Yeah.
And so we actually had some avenues here, and I liked it. But then you had the Miami Toros come around.
Remember the Miami Toros, yeah.
And they were around for a couple of years, changed names. Some decent players, Steve David, Trinidadian International. But the Robbies decided to take a go. And back then, the NFL teams couldn't own the other teams. So it was Joe Robbie's wife, Elizabeth, bought the team. They moved it up to Fort Lauderdale and started bringing in guys like Gerd Muller and Nena Kubias. And you mentioned David Irving, a certain teenager from Newcastle who shall remain nameless. all of a sudden, I remember listening, and I think it was even WIOD, the Dolphin station, was doing some of, might have been one of the other stations, was doing some of the Miami games. And I remember driving around Miami and telling my mom, no, you go in. I want to hear the soccer game.
Yeah.
But I would listen to the sports all the time under my pillow with the transistor radio. Another thing people have no idea about.
Yeah,
just move the dial like bit by bit. And I'd hear Cleveland Indians games, Cardinals games, Yankees games. I remember once even, I don't know how, but Vin Scully doing a Dodgers game.
Wow.
And in Florida, that's amazing. But I used to love sports, listening to guys like Marv Albert and the like.
Holy cow. Well,
never thought that I would get into it. Just something I liked.
Yeah.
Got to high school, North Miami Beach. Go Chargers.
And when did you graduate high school year?
81.
All right. So only about 4 years difference, you and I.
So they had a radio station and a TV studio. And it was one of those ones I'm thinking, just for the heck of it. And we got to do the basketball games and volleyball games.
Awesome.
I think we even did badminton. I don't know. Everything that was in the arena, you had the chance to bring a camera.
Right.
And then they would tape it and put it on the television in the cafeteria the next day. And when you got, like, your badminton game was on the cafeteria the next day.
Yeah, awesome.
Good day.
Absolutely.
So I did a little bit of that. I was awful. I hope none of those tapes exist.
It's like my early comedy stuff. I make sure I destroyed them all.
Comedy, with quotes.
Yes.
But it was enough for me to realize, I like this.
Yeah.
So when I started looking for colleges, and this was, again, before the internet and Google and whatever, you had the Barron's Guide, which I think people have actually died from if it fell off the bookshelf. But I'm flipping through and I'm going, okay, one thing I kind of wanted to be was a forest ranger.
Really?
No idea why. I think I just like trees.
Big Smokey the Bear guy?
So I was looking for forestry. I was looking for foreign languages, ROTC if it was there, and broadcasting. And one of the things that I wanted, if I was going to do it, was to not have to wait around. And I got accepted Florida, North Carolina, Syracuse, Bowling Green, and Ohio U. Wanted to kind of stay east of the Mississippi, and Syracuse, huge production factory, but you normally have to wait around and carry bags for 3 years to maybe get your chance to call women's volleyball in your senior year. Mm. Occasionally there'll be someone that comes in, but I realized, same thing with you, the only way you're going to get better is to actually do it.
Right.
And at Bowling Green, I had the chance. Now, I go there first year, was starting to get into it a little bit, then my mom got sick, so I actually had to drop out for a couple of years. But when you start to pay for things yourself, you start to be a little more focused.
Right.
So I get back, and now I'm a little bit more, I would say, pushy, but I was a little bit more willing to try and go out and do things. And I got a chance to do football, baseball, basketball, hockey, couple of soccer games here or there, which was kind of difficult. It was all the way out on the other side of the tennis courts. But we were able to do all of those things. And again, didn't think I wanted to do this as a career.
Right.
In fact, my junior year, I'm thinking, well, I could get a double major and a triple minor, political science, computer science, geography, pre-law. By my senior year, I'm going, here's what I got. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
And gave me a broadcast journalism degree, which basically means that and $5 might get me a coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate enough, got my first job out of college 4 weeks in New Jersey. Station called WCTC, biggest news station in New Jersey, which means actually nothing because you're sandwiched between New York and Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's like being the tallest midget.
Oh, absolutely. Oompa Loompaville. But anyway, I got the chance to do a lot of news, and I was the assistant sports director almost right off the bat. Doing a lot of high school sports, South River, all that. Joe, back when Joe Theismann was still Theismann before it was Theismann for Heisman.
Oh.
Learned that at South River. But doing all of that stuff. And it was also at Rutgers University, who at that time had not only Peter Vermees as a player his senior year, Alexi Lalas as a freshman.
Hmm.
Kind of cool on the bus rides. He'd be playing
the
guitar and Peter would like hit him over the head with it, like Animal House.
Yeah.
But it also had
my love
Riasso.
Brought me a cherry that had no stir.
Bob Riasso was a very good recruiter, good coach, amazing promoter, and he actually was able to get the coaches' show,
right.
A soccer coaches' show on the radio.
Oh, cool!
And my boss took my help, realized I loved the sport. By the next year, I'm hosting it. Now that I'm doing this, and again, Central Jersey, New Brunswick. But someone who owned, and at that point, you'd say semi-pro, but it was the top level of soccer in the U.S. because it was after the NASL.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Up in Patterson, and asked me to come up because John Harkes was playing for Albany, and he was coming. They want to put this on television. So I go up there and did the game. It was a little depressing after watching Lockhart Field to go up there and see like 1,500, 2,000
right.
fans.
Because a lot of people don't realize that the early days of the Strikers, 18,000, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Oh, absolutely. And it was amazing, but then it just went into a desert for 10 years. But at the same point, I'm thinking, this is cool. I kind of like this. And in addition to the fact that still doing news, still doing sports, on a bad sports day, someone lost a game. They'll play again next week.
Right.
A bad news day? It's kind of hard to go to sleep sometimes.
Really? Yeah.
So that's when I decided, okay, I'm still doing the news, doing the politics, and I still love some of that, but I started to focus a little bit more on the sports. Go to Ohio for personal reasons and started a coach's show there. Same thing happened. Ended up, someone down near Dayton heard it and asked me to come down and do a game. So now I've got a couple of games. I'm thinking, this is what I really want to do.
Right.
No one was doing this. This is before MLS. So I decided, I almost came back to South Florida, but I didn't want to be a producer at a radio station because a lot of times you get stuck on that side of the glass.
Right.
So instead I rolled the dice, went to Texas and Dallas, which is where my family's from, and that was your team called the Dallas Rockets. Actually did well enough in the league to get a ticket to the CONCACAF Champions Cup
right
back then. So we had...
For those of you people who know, CONCACAF is basically all the professional teams, Central, South America.
North, Central, and the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And Hugo Sanchez is coming in to play this little tiny team in Richardson, Texas. And because they were doing that, they ended up getting some pretty decent players, borderline national team players that were coming in. And they also ended up getting a visit from Bayer Leverkusen. It was Kaiserslautern when Thomas Dooley was playing. So, I mean, it was amazing that year getting me to Hugo Sanchez, getting me Thomas Dooley. Never did any games, but I was doing PA, doing public relations. And I kind of realized, okay, I like soccer. I love soccer. I want to do broadcasting. So then the same station, WQAM, ended up going all sports, flew me out. And I think I was the second voice on the air when they went all sports because of the Marlins. And started doing some Strikers games on local cable, did some stuff on Sunshine Sports and things like that. And now all of a sudden, I think I'm awesome.
Yeah.
So I put all of this stuff together, send it to ESPN, and say, I want to do World Cup. Because I was too stupid to realize that was stupid.
Yeah.
But they said, you know what? We're already set, but we're going to keep you in mind for MLS, which is supposed to start in the next year. Next year comes, MLS doesn't happen. It gets pushed off to 96. So I kind of forget about it. I'm just going on doing stuff. They come up the next year and they say, hey, are you still interested? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we're down to 10 people. You're still in it, but we'll see what happens. We'll keep you in touch.
Now, what are you thinking at that point? Like, what kind of, like you know?
I'm the sports update guy for the all sports station in South Florida and occasionally doing weekends, doing a little bit of local sports broadcasting on the local cable. I'm thinking, I can't believe I actually sent this in. But in some way, again, same thing, you have to push yourself.
Yeah.
You have to take that step. Otherwise, you're always going to wonder what if.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I asked, because a lot of people
and
will be in that position, and they'll let that inner voice control their decision, and they'll pull back.
You ever listen, Mel Robbins?
Mm.
She came up with something called the 5-second rule. And basically, if I remember the way she describes it, so I'm not talking out of school, her husband was a business failure. She was basically a drunk mom who was out of work and practically unemployable, decided to change things. And basically, like a NASA blast off, just came to her mind, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And just the concept of doing that and then get out of bed and do something. And her point is, and you could read the whole book, listen to everything you want, but it comes down to when an idea comes in your head, you basically have 5 seconds to say yes before your brain tells you all the reasons to say no.
Yeah.
And there's so many other things out there, but this was long before that. I decided to send it out. And from 10, it went down to 7, went down to 5, went down to 3, and I'm going, I might actually get this.
Mm.
And again, one of those situations, you could call it luck, but I've always been taught that the luck is the residue of hard work and desire.
Absolutely.
In fact, there is no such thing as luck. You have to make the effort. You have to want it. And good things can happen.
One of my favorite mantras I go by is, fortune favors the prepared mind.
Very good.
It's not like, I've had people say that to me in my past. Yeah. You're lucky. You're just lucky.
No, you put your name out there.
Yeah. I go for it. I don't. I had that said even by some of my siblings would say, oh, you're just lucky. I go, no.
Yeah.
When I played soccer in college and you're on the road for 2 weeks and you got to study from 7 at night till 6 in the morning, that's not luck.
No, that's effort.
Yeah.
So anyway, it comes down to the final three, and I wasn't number one. But back in those days, MLS wasn't even the MLS it is now. You could argue how big it is now, but there were no Beckhams, there were no Ibrahimovic's, et cetera. And they didn't want to challenge the NFL. They didn't want to challenge college football. So they were going to do their game of the week on Thursday night. And the guy who was number one was a sportscaster in Cleveland, couldn't do Thursday nights.
Ugh.
So falls to me. Next thing you know, first voice of MLS, Spartan Stadium, San Jose, Eric Winalda pulls his magic, and I was part of history. And
wow.
Was able to do that for the next 5 years. Disney bought Cap Cities and ABC. The economy tanks, and Disney shares go down. They don't renew contracts. So, again, from up there, was pretty much unemployed
Amazing.
For
yeah.
like a year, year and a half, and seriously doubting myself. Started doing some other work with an Umbro company that came over here.
And I thought you could tell me you're doing male dancing or something.
That was later.
Yeah.
But, and you don't want to hear the Comet story for that one either. But anyway, ended up working on Fox Sports a little bit back then when it was Fox Soccer. That company went bankrupt. It's not an easy business. I mean, you have to earn your stripes. You have to, like they say, 10 years to get to become an overnight sensation.
Right. Yeah. No, it's, you know, like, listen, as a fiduciary, as a licensed advisor, yeah. I would work at a bank. I'd get happy. Now I'm working at Glendale Federal Bank,
mm-hmm.
and everything's great. I'm like, oh, my God, I got an office. I got people coming to me. I got a 9-to-5 job.
Uh-huh.
And then Glendale Federal goes pretty much belly up in a sense, and they're bought by Barnett Bank.
Yep.
Wouldn't want to work for Barnett Bank. So then I go work at Bank Atlantic. Yeah, they're a horrible bank. So then I go work at Great Western, which ended up being a great California bank. Working
Absolutely, until they got bought out.
And then they got taken by Washington Mutual, which turned out to be like the Kmart of banking with all the free checking accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So it got a little nuts. And, you know, so it was always something that would come and like pull the rug from underneath mm-hmm. you.
But you have to want what you want. And I'm not saying a banking job, you know, it's okay for you if you want. But for me, I knew what I wanted to do. And I'm amazed I'm still married because there were so many chances along the way that my wife could have just said goodbye. But she stayed with me. In fact, she worked for Great Western and Washington Mutual and Bank United. But she got us through some of the rougher spots, thank goodness. And Gold TV came around. And I got a chance to do what I loved and still, again, with ESPN and Fox or whatever, it was great. You're flying all over the country. You're doing whatever. You have a kid. You have a mortgage. You have a wife. That's not as exciting anymore.
Right.
So I got a chance to do all of this stuff and still go to sleep in my own bed. And then 10 years later, BN Sports comes around, and it's just been a dream come true. I've been blessed to do what I do, and it's nice that people like
but
it.
But you stayed on it. Then that's the key. You know, some people, adversity occurs, and boom, they fall off, and they get, why me? And yeah, but you don't. You got to stay. You got to keep it. Like, obviously, my dream wasn't to be a financial advisor. Like, I did that. My whole adult life, my decisions were all predicated on taking care of my parents.
Because
my father became disabled. I was supposed to go to NYU and Georgetown Law School I got accepted into. But I couldn't go because my father became disabled. So I started managing money to make a living. So everything I did was to take care of them. And it really wasn't until my dad passed in 2003. And my mom passed in 2010. And my wife, God bless her, the same thing, stuck by me through all this, looked at me and she goes, we can do whatever you want. I don't care about the money. You know, we have money. I don't care. I just want you to be happy. And that was it. And that was it. And I said, you know, and I'm blessed in the sense that I, at that point in 2010, I had basically been a financial advisor for 21, 22 years. And I'm like, well, you know, I can still kind of do this if I want. I don't have to walk away from it. And like to this day, I can travel all over the country as a comic and I work from my computer and I'm an independent advisor. I have 50 great clients, you know. Obviously, the current investment markets aren't.
I say, forget the T-shirts. You should be like outside doing tax.
yeah, I mean, well, that's the crazy thing. Like even on here, like I can't talk about anything like that. I have to have a long, boring disclosure before the show. If I do any, you know, somebody I was on the show one time and they asked me about Bitcoin, and I asked them, and then my compliance department heard that, you know, they listened to our show, so I don't talk about anything. So they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "You mentioned fundamental research." I'm like, "Yeah, now I'm going to get in trouble again," but you know, it's just crazy. But you know, but that, like, if I could ever, like. That was always my big thing. Like when the strikers came back, and a friend of mine said, "Man, you should like John Adams, who was an Umbro rep. He was a big soccer
guy. I love John. Best beard in America.
Yeah, he's had that beard. Him and his son and I played together when we were young.
Okay,
and we've known each other since we were kids in Coral Springs Soccer League and eventually Margate. And you know, And John, I remember talking to him one time back when I said, I'd love to be able to do color at the game at Lockhart. You know, I'd love to be able to sit there, you know, just add in. Because, like you, I don't have all that knowledge of other stats. But I know, like Ray Hudson, like I know when something's happening. Like
you know the game.
Yeah, I know the game. And I would be able to, oh, look at that lovely ball. You know, oh, my God. You know, things like that. It would just be, that to me would be a dream. You know, that to me is one of my, if I couldn't do this, then I would love to do something like that. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about, again, Dougie Almeida with the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, my guest Phil Schoen. It's to me, what's always been amazing is adaptability, you know, in life, in survival. Mm-hmm. Like if you learn something, it's always good to go and finish it, right? Because too many people start something like, oh, I don't want to do it, and they move on. And then, you know, I don't know if it, and they keep moving on. Never establishing some sort of, I don't know, work ethic or really something that is a value within yourself.
Yeah, too many distractions sometimes.
Yeah.
Self-distraction.
Yeah. And, you know, like the voice thing, like, you know, it's funny. Like I had somebody ask me, actually my wife even said, people said, look, you're doing this podcast. You're not making any money from it. Why are you doing it? I'm like, well, it's just a way for me to have something for my fans as an outlet for what I do. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because last March, I think it was last, I can't remember, it was a year or so ago, with the Paul Castronovo show.
Yeah.
They let go a couple people, and all of a sudden I get a call from the from the producer of the show, and they say, hey, you know, you were referred to us as a comic and somebody who does some little bit, you know, have a podcast and stuff, but we're looking for somebody to sit in. And of course, what are you, nuts? I've been listening to that show since I was young. And I came into the studio. I sat in, and because I do this mock up, you know, all this stuff, and
were ready.
I was ready. And I never, there was no pay for it, but it's just the ability of training that and getting into that mode. And my, you know, it's like my point is, if you, like in financial planning, if you, whatever it is you're doing, there's always something from that, that you don't have to be doing that again. You could do something related somewhat to it and still be really good at it because of how much time that you put in to what it is you did do. You know, so like something like this, like voice, you know, having a strong voice, you know, I've been talking, and that's a great industry, because you know, you want to know if anybody really knows how to talk, just call somebody on the phone half the time. You know, I remember one time we tried to hire an assistant in my financial planning company. I'm like, oh, we just have to hire an assistant. They just have to answer the phones, and it was amazing how inadequate, you know,
just answering a phone.
Just
can
people
be.
Can't even. Oh, hey, how's it going? Like, you don't know how to answer a phone. You know what I mean? Just amazing. You know, so. I know, I love it, and I think it's great, and love hearing you guys on the show on the games, and I think you guys make a great team. You guys are kind of like the Laurel and Hardy, right? Like he, you know, one, you have the dry and the sensational
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello. You know what I mean?
Wiley E. and Roadrunner.
So. Right. I mean, it's just endless. But you guys are a great team.
Too kind.
And I love listening to you guys broadcast the games. So. One thing I want to ask you about soccer. Excuse me. How's this? The women's national team, congratulate, they won great women's, you know. People ask me about the political aspect of what she was doing. I go, you know, I don't have any problem with anybody doing whatever they want. They want to take a knee. You know, everybody has the God-given right to do whatever they want as strong as long as they do it for the purpose of they truly, really feel about it, not just for notoriety. You
but
know?
There are consequences,
right?
Which goes into the thought process: do I really want to do this?
Ask Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But you know, and you know what, and you know, so when somebody said that to me, and because I know I'm a soccer guy, like, how do you feel about? I'm forgetting her name.
Megan Rapinoe.
I go, look, she can do whatever she wants. God, you know, I'm not going to tell her what to do. I'm not going to get mad at her. But here's where I have a problem. When it came up that I will not go to the White House.
Yeah.
As a team, as somebody played soccer in a team, it's a jinx to me. Like, I would never, first of all, I'm isolating myself from my team, which I wouldn't want to do. I would say, I wouldn't say what I would do. I'd say, I don't know, we have to talk to the team. That would be my first response. Secondly, I'm like, you know what, let's win it first would be my real next response. So that was the only issue I had with it.
Kind of cocky.
You know what I mean? Yeah, a bit. And by all means, I've been labeled arrogant, conceited. And usually the people that use those types of descriptions of you...
Are family members. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Of course. Mostly. But yeah, or people who are non-achievers.
Yes. But always people, looking for a reason
exactly.
why they didn't make it.
What those people call cocky and arrogant, another person who is well-balanced and successful will say, that person's got confidence.
Yeah, go-getter.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it amazing the difference? mm-hmm. as how it's viewed. So, but now many of the women on the U.S. national team are suing the United States Soccer Federation mm-hmm. for equal pay. Now, here's, again, forget about soccer, just as a business person. What I understand when it comes to professional athletes, what predicates their pay is generally revenue brought in mm-hmm. by the game. Now, yeah. you are a great...
You're the Adam Smith of sports economy, from what I understand. It is. That's what it should be. Right. And that's why, in fact, when you take a look at the figures, there can be arguments on both sides. First of all, this was the collective bargaining agreement that they agreed to. The men agreed to a different one. And you saw, I think it was Norway recently. It was Norway or Iceland, I think, where the men decided that they were not going to be paid more than the women on the women's national team. But in my mind, that's charity. And right. you know what? The next group of men might go, no, we want our right. money. Right. So it's really what you can earn. And
that, shouldn't set a precedent, in other words. You know, with the Norway team should not set a precedent. That's their own.
Yeah, but in this situation, if they are as good as they are, and they are, and the attendance starts to go, the sponsorship goes, television rights continue to increase, why limit yourself to just as much as the men are playing? We're in kind of a down period. But for the current situation over a 10-year period, I'm trying to remember this. I think that the U.S. Soccer Federation lost something like $10 million because they paid the women so much. They paid the women more than the women brought in.
In the past, in this recent World Cup.
Well, no, just like over the last 10 years, the fact that the U.S. women actually made more than the U.S. men. So if anything, the U.S. men should be fighting for equal pay.
They don't know what they're doing, those dummies.
But you take a look at what's going on, in my mind, I agree with you 100%. And now they have, what was it, Budweiser's coming in. I can't remember which Razor sponsor's coming in. ESPN's come in to do the league games.
Right.
Although who knows what's going to happen with that next year. They have a wonderful opportunity to go out and lift this game beyond.
Yeah.
Anything else is a false economy and will crash and burn. So I in answer to your question and the whole equal pay, I kind of fall into that. Rather than legislate or guarantee an equal outcome, which is destined for failure,
right.
have an equal opportunity. And you know what? If you want to have the same contract that the men have, that's your choice.
Right.
And if you guys can bring in as much money or more, you're going to be making a ton
of money.
Yeah,
in other words, why use them as your bar?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be honest. Listen, I've said this before. I love watching the women's game. Mm-hmm. One, because they're a lot more unselfish than the men at
True.
Times. Plus, I'd rather watch women run around in shorts, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. And they're, you know, some pretty good looking girls in there. But at the same time, it's actually, and I think they've done a lot for soccer in this country, obviously, in the last mm-hmm. decade, because it's built the mm-hmm. sport up. And so for that, there should be some sort of reward. But when it comes to revenue and earnings, yeah. it's always about the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, people always say, I deserve. No, listen, there's a lot of people that deserve a lot. Mm-hmm. But what you get has nothing to do with what you deserve.
Well, like, for example, just to give you an idea, I don't know if you know him, but he's up in this general area. There's a guy named Mark Montemuro. Who is one of the best softball coaches in the country, used to work with me at WQAM as a producer and has gone on to greater things. I think something like 8 out of 9 or 8 out of 10 state championships. Why don't you pay him as much as the guy that wins the World Series?
Right,
he's
right.
He's winning.
Right, right.
So you have to take a look individually at those specific situations, look at those economies, and try and find a way to make it work. But nowadays, everything is a political statement.
Right.
And in some ways, everything is also a dangerous step towards disaster. If you don't let reality rule, you're going to basically get to a certain point where things are going to crash and burn. That's what happened from a soccer perspective. And this is why a lot of the MLS fans are going, why isn't there promotion relegation? Why do you have a salary cap? They weren't around after the NASL, where
right.
there was a 10-year soccer desert. They can't comprehend that soccer would not exist.
Yeah.
And it's always easy to spend someone else's money. When it's your money, when it's your house, when it's your bank account.
So I'm guessing you're not going to be a socialist in the next election.
Well, who did I hear this from? I guess the closer you get to the family, the more socialist you become.
Yeah.
The further you leave your front door, the more capitalist you come.
Yeah.
I'm all for equal opportunity.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't necessarily be a handout. What was it? Carlos Slim, the best charity is a job. You now have a job. Go knock it out of the park. Yeah. Do the best you can.
Yeah, and we'll wrap this up. But like when it comes to the women's pay and stuff, it's almost like the minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know, and again,
$15 minimum wage. Congratulations, that computer company and the robotics company are going to be loving this one.
That's the unfortunate reality.
Have you watched McDonald's lately?
Yeah, I mean, that is the answer. And I know I've said this.
Three people behind are making $15 an hour.
I know, people say, oh, you're just it's like it's almost like even the immigration rules. You know, and everybody fighting about this, like, oh, you don't care about kids. No, first of all, I do care about kids. I also care about the 2.5 million. Homeless kids on the streets in this country. I have compassion for that, but don't throw it into my face. You know, I'm a financial guy. I'm a business guy. I know numbers. So if you're going to say that, I know that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, the company's going to figure out a way to circumvent it and find a way to make money because it's always
about
robots
don't need health insurance.
They don't need any of that stuff, so they're going to become
retirement pay.
And, of course, just even with the level. All right, so that's the case. Well, now, guess what? A Big Mac doesn't cost $3.50. It costs $6.80.
They even have robots making French fries in the planning stages right now, so there might only be one guy at McDonald's.
I'll still eat them, and my wife will be pissed. I'm just saying, I'll still eat them. Any rate, by the way, guys, I think we're coming on. I don't know if this is it reconnecting, but some people are responding. Can you guys see us on Facebook Live?
Woo-hoo!
All right. Well, don't worry about it. Catch the podcast if you can. Hey, by the way, it's that time where we like to go over some of the news.
Okay.
All right. So
this could get dangerous.
I'm Dougie Dangerous.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thanks, Peter. And we're the only news team with a typewriter. I love saying that. Our first story comes to us. Now, you got to be fortunate. Like, Elizabeth Warren, Democratic presidential candidate, wants to basically take care of everybody's student debt, which is an interesting concept in a sense. Because then again, what about that poor guy who just got done busting his ass, paying all his student loans off for some schlep who's sitting in his mom's basement to get his loans paid off? But this was interesting. Chase Bank forgives all credit card debt in Canada.
Why not the U.S.?
Well, just in Canada. Because this is a separate company, a separate division.
Ah, Chase Canada.
Right. So what it was, it would cost them more to try to collect on it than it would to just wipe it out. Canadians who had credit cards with Chase Bank can breathe a sigh of relief as the company says it will forgive all outstanding debt. Okay, Chase Bank, part of the New York-based JPMorgan Chase and Company, closed all credit card accounts in the country in March of 2018, the company said. Originally, the customers were told to continue paying their debt, Reuters reported, but the company confirmed on Friday that the debt was now canceled. What a great letter to get in the mail. And this is when you wish you had like a DeLorean time machine where you could say, you know what, let's go buy that DeLorean.
18,000 gallons of maple syrup.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Chase declined to say how much debt was forgiven or how many customers were affected. It was immediately clear when the decision was made. But CBC spokesman said Canadians who said they received the letter from Chase this week. What a great letter to get. I'm just saying. No debt. I remember, God forbid, when my dad passed, a couple of credit cards they had. One, when he passed, they went with him. And that was it. They said, look, it's all forgiven. I'm like, oh, why didn't we have that with the other credit card? So congratulations if you're a Chase Bank holder in Canada. Now, this is a funny story. People like to make fun of people, right? I mean, we're in a day and age where if you see somebody, which, you know, if you look funny looking.
I'll just be waiting for you in the green room.
Yeah. Fugitives. Receding hair mocked. You see this photo?
I saw that in England.
Yeah.
Kind of glad I'm not in England.
Yeah. This poor guy. Fugitive's receding hairline is mocked on Facebook, spurring the warning from the police, which is hilarious. Excuse me. The United Kingdom police authorities in the United Kingdom have warned people online against mocking the hairstyle, if it is a hairstyle, of a wanted convicted drug dealer, or they could face their own criminal charges. I think it's a bit rough, you know?
Yeah. You know what? The guy is a drug dealer, but put him in jail, fine him, but don't make fun of the haircut.
I don't think – I think he's going to have a lot of things –
Have you seen the haircut,
work.
By the
yes.
way? Yes. Okay.
Some of the jokes are funny. It's like he's on the run because he's trying to escape like his his hairline. The police department in South Wales has posted a Facebook to appeal for information about a 21-year-old Jermaine Taylor from Newport who violated his parole after being released from prison back in December.
Again, you kind of think if they don't want you making fun of the guy's hair, you wouldn't send the picture out?
Yeah. Or just add, like, you know, maybe draw in some, you know, hair.
It should have been like a police drawing, a police sketch.
Yeah.
And they could have, like, drawn in the front a little bit.
Police sketch artist may have re-rendered a little
Let's
bit
just say he looks like he could have jumped straight out of a Dilbert cartoon.
Yeah. He looks like he landed face first, falling off a motorcycle at 100 miles an hour. The department took a Facebook post of the 20-year-old's mugshot in addition to information, but the image was showed a receding hairline. Clicky went viral with 13,000 shares. Someone said, looks like his hairline is on the run, too. Another user, Colum Duff, commented, his hairline goes back further than my family tree. But authorities found the comments no laughing matter, and they said, we may press charges on you if you... Which, you know, I have a philosophy. I don't really feel bad for people that do bad things. I have a lot of compassion for people that have unfortunate things happen to them. You know, a good friend of mine's dog went into surgery. That's when I feel bad. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody recently lost a family member. Someone's just sick. But if you're in the middle of committing a crime, and the police officer mistakenly or maybe gets a little aggressive and knocks you in the head,
don't do the crime.
Don't do the crime. Like, you know, that's it. I'm a police lover because I've trained. I used to train Broward County Sheriff's officers how to use the PR-24s.
Mm-hmm.
I rode around with the police. I know what they go through. And, you know, of course, we all know, like, every profession has their bad people.
Stop making the hair jokes.
They're on their way. This guy's doing a podcast. But you know what I mean? Like, of course, there's bad accountants. There's bad plumbers. There's bad attorneys. There's going to be bad cops. And, you know, and I was getting really frustrated on Facebook when people keep showing these... You know, these police are beating the shit out of somebody. And I'm like, look, for that one video, there's 100 guys out there, gals, saving somebody's life. You know, like the shooting in Dayton, Ohio. You know, when those guys are running in with that guy with the body armor and this, they're running into it when people are running away. And even if you listen to some audio, there's people that are mocking the cops, like giving them shit as they're going in after these people. It's a real bad.
We live in a strange world.
We do, you know, and it's kind of scary. Excuse me. Mentioning Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris recently got in trouble because they brought up the anniversary of the Michael Brown situation, which brought Black Lives Matter. And I even had a comic friend of mine, get mad at me because I tweeted, because when Elizabeth Warren said that, or Kamala, I don't know which one, I go, you may want to go back over the case.
Yeah.
Because even
he was
Eric.
Exonerated.
Yeah. Even Eric Holder and the administration stepped in to oversee the investigation and found that it was.
There's video.
Yeah. And then they found that a lot of people on site lied about what they saw. And even Marshall Warfield, who's a comedian, he used to be on Night Court. I remember when this occurred, she goes, he had his hands up when he got shot. I go, Marsha, have you ever seen anybody get shot? I have. I've been in a gunfight. I used to do professional security work in the armed security. And I shot at people. And I've been shot at. And I can tell you that when somebody gets shot, they don't put their arms up in the air and hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I go, the only way that his arms would have been up in the ground is if he was moving towards the gunman or the person who shot at a high rate of speed. When he got shot, his arms went out in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? You're a comic. No, I'm not a dummy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have other reasons to think things. So I understand that Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris can be in trouble because by bringing it out that this was a bad, like he murdered, they came out and said the officer murdered him, which they can get in a lot of trouble for that. Which is interesting.
Not Jeffrey Epstein trouble, but trouble.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think of that?
I don't know. Maybe just an accident in the shower. That one they might have gotten away with.
You know, and I'm going to say this. I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
You may not like this, but listen, I'm a Republican. I voted for Trump because I don't trust the Clintons. Yeah. End of story. I don't like some of the shit like when Trump came out and said I don't trust the Clintons. You know, the fact that so many people died under their watch and committed suicide, there's definitely something there. And if anything, it's whether it's there or not, it's not crazy for somebody to think there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not
The one thing for me that really jumps out now, though, and I'm not going to come down really on one side or the other, because, maybe he did. Although there's a question for a guy that supposedly just did a couple of weeks ago, why would you not have...
That's my logical thinking. Why would, if he just tried to commit suicide, why would he, you know, why is it not surprised he tried it again?
But the people that are saying, oh, you conspiracy theorists are the ones that have basically been talking about Russian collusion for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So you can't have collusion on one side, not on the other. Let's, you know, they should have like a big... In search of.
Yeah.
Again, bring back Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yeah.
And we could try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. That was the one thing with this whole thing about that. Like, I never believed any of that. Mm-hmm. Everybody I know who voted for Trump did it because either A, they hated Hillary, or B,
they just wanted to change from the
status
quo.
They wanted an outsider, and that was it, you know. Yeah. We all know who he was when he got there. I'm always amazed today when people are surprised with the things he says. I'm like, why are you surprised?
Yeah, haven't you been paying attention the last 30
years?
Have you not
be surprised at what he says?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, and I fight for the underdog. So when I see somebody getting pushed and prodded like he's done, then I'm just going to be that more, you know, even I've unfriended people on Facebook because I would make one comment and they all of a sudden, you know, I've known my wife for 26 years and I'm still just
getting... Your wife unfriended you on
Facebook?
Yeah, no,
I blocked her.
Oh, okay.
how long it takes to get to know somebody, yet somebody on Facebook thinks they know your entire character by one social media post. So they're gone. Now, here's an interesting story. Vaginal steaming.
This was going to be the one that got busted for meth, but I don't know if they steamed her.
I did that story.
Oh, you already did?
We did that story last week where she stuffed it in her.
Yeah.
And then
she found out it was hers.
Yeah, I had no idea how it got there.
And the meth, too.
I had no idea how it got there. Vaginal steaming leaves women with second-degree burns. I guess this is like a new, theory of getting something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A woman who attempts to so-called vaginal steaming suffered second-degree burns, according to a news report.
I'm just wondering, do they have steaming for guys? Because remember the guy up in Canada, the transsexual up in Canada that wanted the Brazilian?
Yeah.
And is suing everyone because they won't... as Ricky Gervais said, the meat and two veg. I mean, there should be something for guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to have equal stuff, there should be, you know, steaming for guys. Listen, I don't know if I would put mine that close to it, but
I don't listen. I just want to lose enough weight so that when I man groom, I don't have to ask for assistance. The unnamed,
hold the mirror a little lower.
60. I can't even reach with the mirror. The unnamed 62-year-old woman tried a method in an attempt to reduce vaginal prolapse.
Hmm.
What's that mean? It's
not a pretty sight.
It's like hanging, like
something like that,
like curtains, like big curtains. Is that the curtain thing expression, which describes as a condition in which structures such as the uterus, rectum, bladder, urethra, small bowel, or vagina itself may begin to prolapse or fall out. Ugh. The woman reportedly attempted vaginal steaming, the process of getting hot steam into the vagina, after a doctor who was treating her prolapse recommended the surgery, according to report. A traditional Chinese doctor purportedly recommended the woman try vaginal steaming, telling the woman to prepare a pan of boiling water and mix an herbal medicine to put the pan and then stand over it. Is that racist?
No.
I don't think so.
It wasn't even very good, but you know, I was still chuckling.
It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, the woman did not feel any pain, according to the report, which noted she was told to apply polysorbin, antibiotic ointment, and wrap the affected area in gauze. Well, it'd be amazing going on a blind date and to go all of a sudden the woman's got her JJ wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a big mummy fan. Anyway, so don't be doing that, ladies. Where are we at? All right. So, all right. Well, sorry that the, let's do this. Hold on. Let me try something here. I'm going to do this. What do you think of this? I'm just going to go live again. Yeah, here we go.
Yay. Watching a genius in action.
Yeah, look at that.
Modern technology.
We're back.
You couldn't do that like 20 years ago.
No?
No.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I don't think you can do that in Canada either.
I'm surprised I did it here. We don't want to leave the men out, but Bronx doctors say a man discovered with exceedingly rare condition that his penis is turning into bone.
Ooh, that, he's got a... Never mind.
I'm just going to say it happens to me every morning, thank God. Doctors in Bronx say they encountered one of the rarest medical mysteries they've come across. A man's penis was literally turning into bone.
Literally?
Mm-hmm. According to a team of physicians from Lincoln Medical and the Mental Health Center, a 63-year-old man suffered a fall into the pavement and went to the hospital complaining of knee pain. He was walking on a sidewalk with his cane.
He's rather well endowed.
Yeah. Good for him. And when he fell onto his buttock shortly thereafter, he started to have knee pain. The doctors reported in the medical journal of urology. By the way, my urologist says, hey, you know your dick better than I do. Doctors did an x-ray on the 60-year-old pelvis to make sure he hadn't hurt his hip as well. That was when the stunning discovery was made. An extensive plaque-like calcification, along with expected distribution of the penis, was evident.
Expected distribution?
Yeah, I don't know what that, you know.
I'm almost scared to ask.
Yeah. I mean, at least he doesn't have to worry about Viagra. The Bronx doctors said the identified man was likely suffering from an exceedingly rare case of ossification or the abnormal formation of bone. Penile ossification remains a relatively rare condition being mentioned. I've never heard of it.
I can guarantee you it will probably be on my list of Google searches as soon as the show is over.
Penile ossification usually happens when you're watching good porn. Anyway, good for him.
And I'm sure and the missus.
And yeah, the wife's happy.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't finish a show without talking about a Florida man story, but a naked Florida bicyclist stole underwear from a sex shop. It says here that a man in Florida was seen pedaling a bike in the nude before swiping underwear from a sex shop, police reported. And then the man was arrested. It all happened this past Thursday in Wilton Manors.
Neighbors.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which, those of you don't know, well, I just keep stopping.
Try one more time. Third
try. Let's
try
one more time. Why not? There we go. Let's see if you guys come back. And now I'm going to have like three parts to our video.
Uh-huh.
It all happens at Wilton Manors. If you don't know, Wilton Manors, if you're in Florida, is basically...
Anything could happen in Wilton Manors.
I think it's overtaken San Francisco as the largest gay per capita, homosexual mm-hmm. per capita city in the country. Where the police said they responded after getting reports from concerned citizens of a naked man riding down the street on a bicycle. Boy, wouldn't you love to see that seat? After those initials call, after the initial calls, the man entered.
It wasn't a bicycle built for two, was
no,
it?
No, no. Okay. His buddy was in there waiting for him. Then entered the sex shop where he donned underwear he took off the shelf and offered to pay for it with his bicycle. Little barter.
Uh-huh.
Posting the cell phone video... of the arrest. The station cited the police report as saying the man then left the shop without paying for the underwear and without the bike. Well, I don't know if you could do that. You left value.
Yeah.
Technically, you didn't really commit a crime. You left some sort of value, unless it was a really piece of shit bike.
Mm-hmm.
One of those old people bikes with three-wheeler with this basket in the back. The subject left the business continuing to walk up and down Wilton Drive where he removed the stolen clothing item, again exposing his sexual organs. And oddly enough, he didn't have a boned-up penis.
And by the way, that is one of the tamer Florida man stories.
Yes. The subject left the business, blah, blah, blah. She said the officer took the 38-year-old man into custody after providing him cover. The man was booked as John Smith on charges of lewd and lascivious exhibit and refusing to divulge his name. I'm always amazed when I see these... you know, videos of people, like, they think they're going to, like, they're all, like armchair Matlocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't have to tell you. There was a guy who was filming cops, like, just, like, filming them as they were, like, driving through. And he was said he was just, like, seeing if they had their seatbelt on and stuff. Okay. So eventually the cops stopped them. And it's amazing today, considering the environment we're in,
mm-hmm.
where crazy things happen. And especially if you're going to video cops. Again, if the cop comes up and asks you questions, I don't have to give you your name. I think that person just get clubbed in the head right there and
again,
taken away.
You're allowed to take the video, but be polite. You don't want to push anyone with a gun. You don't want to mess around with
no.
it.
No. So. And you know what? Here's the thing. I researched a little bit. You don't have to show ID because I always thought you had to have ID uh-huh. on you. But if a police officer asks you your name,
uh-huh.
you have to let them know your name. Otherwise, there's
name,
reason.
Name, rank, and fiduciary number.
There's reason to think you're up to something no good. So if you're out there in Wilton Manors, everybody, please put your pants back on.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Well, anyway, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Still so much to talk about.
There is. And you can always come back.
Would love to.
You can always have me on your XM show.
We'll see what we can do.
We tried that once.
We did.
I tried to Skype in and stuff, and I got a little excited. And
Yeah, premature jokes. It's no, but let's see. Got to talk about what's going on in with the Honduras trip. Also with the new business a little bit more. And who knows? Hopefully, I'll even have two halves of a face by then.
Nice. And then you know. And then what was I gonna say? Soccer season's here. You got to get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna love it.
So we just did a PSG game without Neymar this past weekend. Who knows where he's gonna end up? And Barcelona this Friday, taking on Athletic. Mm. Iñaki Williams, if you haven't had a chance to watch him,
yeah.
United wanted him, but transfer window closed. Looks like he's going to stay, or at least Athletic's going to make sure they get their money's worth. Just signed a 9-year contract. Who knows? He might be gone in January, but Athletic's going to make their money.
I got to tell you, I was happy this weekend when my Manchester United won 5-0 against Chelsea.
Uh-huh. My son's a Chelsea fan. I don't know what I did wrong. I maybe dropped him on his head, but and again, it could have gone the other way. It's just that brief period of time. I'm an Arsenal fan, and they almost stumbled against Newcastle, but they got the 3 points.
They got it. But that's all we have time for, guys. Thanks for joining us today. And by the way, you do have a new business. You are looking at mentoring and helping people develop their voiceover skills. Want to share that real quick?
Basically, three things. The company's called Voice Goals, but you can find out more about it at philshoen.com, S-C-H-O-E-N. And it's basically, the sports broadcasting I already do is kind of getting funneled through that for tax purposes. You'd appreciate that. Also, it's voiceovers, narration, voice acting, things I've been doing for free for 30 years. Yeah. Now I'm doing it for myself, taking more responsibility, and that's growing, which is awesome. So if like anyone needs a co-commercial voice or something like that, I'll just give you my agent. They can call them. And then also people that maybe want to be a sportscaster, or if you have your own broadcast and you want to find a way to maybe make it work a little bit better, or you want to find out what it takes to be. And you might be great, but maybe you just want to try and brush up doing coaching and consulting in that as well. So it's just something I've always wanted to do, and now getting a chance to do it.
I want to hit you up on that because obviously I want to get a lot of work more done than that. Mm-hmm. So thanks for watching us, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show.
Don't quit your day job.
Don't do that. And yeah, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. By the way, this Wednesday I'm going to be at Level 2 in Del Rey doing a spot. And on August 30th and 31st, the Ebony and Olive Comedy Tour starring myself and Chris Priester, the teacher, will be at Porky's Comedy Club in St. Cloud. So come out there if you're in the area. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. And other than that, guys, take care. God bless. And we'll probably be back with my good buddy John Wynn, who's going to make it today. We'll probably be back on Wednesday or Thursday, so stay tuned for more, guys. Thanks for listening and watching, and we'll be back right here at the same spot. Take care.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the sun, they started to climb.